good to see everybody. Amen. Amen. Let's do a little word. Thank you, musicians. You guys are such a blessing. Getting to be more and more of a blessing. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, 24th chapter. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the spirit that we have here. Lord, we thank you that we can come and praise your name. We can come into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. Lord, we enter into your very presence, your word tells us, with praise and with worship. Lord, we thank you that you tell us to pray one for another. And Lord, you tell us that when we come together, that we all should have a psalm and a hymn and a spiritual song. Lord, that we should come together and that we should have interpretation and prophecy. Lord, we come together, we manifest the gifts of the Spirit, and we are edified or builded together. And Lord, that you are preparing yourself today a bride and a people. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we are part. We are just a part of what you're doing today. And Lord, I thank you that we have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church today. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're sensitive one to the other. We thank you, Lord, that throughout this entire fellowship, there is just love that abounds. We magnify you today, and we love you today. Lord, everything we do in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Last Tuesday night, James Bussey was with us and shared about the Ark of the Covenant, or really he was sharing about the mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant with the two cherubims. And so he read a scripture, and I'm going to read it in just a second. And it was one of the primary things that I received from James that night, and I really saw it, and I really wanted to build on it some anyway. When we were in prayer, I believe it was the next morning, Wednesday morning, and the Lord spoke to me as we were talking and discussing some things that I needed to minister on the blood. So today we're ministering on the blood. Now, I can't teach a thing except I teach about the New Testament church and the kingdom of God, because you see, it's all together, isn't it? What is the foundation? What is the foundation of the kingdom of God, of the New Testament church? It must be the blood. Except we build upon him and the blood, then we're building in vain. We're just out of whack. And so that's sort of what we're going to be looking at. In the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, the nation of Israel comes to Mount Sinai. And it's the third month. It's the month of Pentecost that later develops. So what they came to Mount Sinai to get was not salvation. That was given to them when they came out of Egypt. What they came to the Mount Sinai for, after 50 days after Passover, they came to Mount Sinai to get the law. It was a type of Pentecost. And what Pentecost is to us today is tongues and these types of things. No, not at all. You see, what Pentecost really is when you get the law written on the fleshy tablets of your heart. That's what Pentecost is really about. It's not just getting to be able where you can talk in tongues or prophesy or work the nine spiritual gifts. That's not it at all. What Pentecost is really about is getting the law of God engrafted in you. So they came to Pentecost, and so Moses here was going up and down the mountain. And if you read through there, he just didn't go up once or twice. He was up and down, up and down, up and down. And so he received the law. And in chapter 24, in verse 3, and Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. Isn't it amazing? There's always judgments with the word of the Lord. Now, they're positive and negative, but when the word of the Lord comes forth, it does some judging, doesn't it? And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. Is that right? They're going to do it. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill with 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men and children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings and of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read it to the audience of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has said will we do, and we'll be obedient." Now, if you know anything at all about their history, you're looking at here the most disobedient people ever in the history of the church or the Bible. We're talking about the most disobedient people. We're talking about people here that were murmurers and complainers. And they said, "We're going to be obedient." And then verse 8, Moses knew that. So what did he do? Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood. Behold the blood. Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning these words." And so when I speak to you this morning, behold the blood. You have the blood of the covenant also. And a lot of times we don't know what it means or what it covers, or somehow we think we can sin bad enough to get it off of us, or we can go get some kind of soap to wash it off of us. I'm telling you, once you've got the blood on you, forget it. It's on you. Amen. There's no sin big enough to get it off. There's no soap powerful enough to get it off. It's on you. You've got the blood of the Lamb on you. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Blood begins in Genesis, and it flows all the way through to the book of Revelation. And it's in the book of Revelation that we find its fruition and its fulfillment and its purposes for existence. In the book of Revelation, very interesting passage of Scripture, chapter 5. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. When you look at the book of Revelation, we know enough now. Is it the revelation of Antichrist, or is it the revelation of Jesus Christ? The first five words of the book of Revelation says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ." And so everything in the book of Revelation is pertaining somehow, some way, because the book of Revelation in the Greek, it's the Greek word apocalypse, and it means uncovering or unveiling. So it's the unveiling or the uncovering of Jesus Christ. It's His revelation. And in chapter 5, we see this. And remember again, we looked at it, was it last Sunday night that we looked, and we saw that everything in the book of Revelation is not just future, but it's also past, present, and future. Did we see that? So let's look at this now in chapter 5. "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a" what? "Book." Now, very interesting. It's number 975. I want to write it because I want it to get burned in you. The Strong's Concordance is 975. And it's the Greek word, B-I-B-L-I-O-N. Guess what word we get from that Greek word? Bible and book. What you have in your lap is the Biblion. Book. Book of books. And throughout this chapter, throughout these first, 10 verses that we're going to read, but in particular, the first 9, it is used in every verse except one is this word, Biblion. So, in the hand of the Father was what? The Scriptures or the book or the Biblion. All right? "And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book, a Biblion, written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals." Now, what did the Father have? Let's get together. All right. He's got that's what I'm trying to show you. He's got the Scriptures. Book. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the—'" Right. You getting it? Who's worthy to open the Scriptures? Who's worthy to open this book? Who's worthy to? And who's worthy to loose the 7 seals thereof? Now, that's very interesting. You could take those 7 seals, and I could show you that they were the 7 major covenants from the time of Adam all the way through. I could take those seven seals and I could show you that they were the seven dispensational days. 1,000 years is how many days to the Lord? One. So I could take it and show you that way, the dispensations and the covenants and the days of the Lord. Or I could take it and I could show you the 7 months that were included in the Feast of Israel. A lot of sevens and a lot of types here. Who's worthy to open the Scriptures and to loose the seals? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. No man. Is that what it says? No man. Not you, not I, no man. You see, it's only through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that you can get into this book. It's only through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that you can understand the writings of it and apply it to your life in an applicable way. It's only given by the inspiration God breathed of God Himself. The difference of a translation and a paraphrase is that in a translation, you have the words of God. In a paraphrase, you have what man says that God is saying. But in a translation, it's the very word of God. No man's worthy. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, the Bible, neither to look therein. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the Bible and to loose the seven seals thereof. Who's worthy? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. A lion. Are you getting the picture of this lion? And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a what? A lamb. Now they said a lion, but what does he see? A lamb. And I saw a lamb, and it stood as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, and sent forth into all the earth. How many has ever saw a lamb like that? Huh? I've never seen a lamb like that. And when he had taken the book, the Bible, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, and that's prayers, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a what? A new song. Margie was singing today a new song. You need to be singing a new song because he's worthy. Fall down sometimes and just sing a new song to him.
Hallelujah.
And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the Bible and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood. By the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto what? Our God, kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. How long? Forever. All right, not getting into that. What I want you to see here, if you talk about the lamb, you must also be speaking about the blood. I want you to see that. Those are synonyms. If I was to talk to a Jew and I talked about the lamb, what would I also be speaking about? The blood. And his mind would immediately quicken to that. When somebody speaks to you about the blood, you should also think about the lamb. Synonyms. Blood and the lamb. Because it's the work of the blood and the work of the lamb that has redeemed you. Without the work of the lamb, redemption is impossible. Have we got that? It's no works that you can do. You're not saved through works. By grace are you saved. And that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It is the Lamb's gift to you. It's His blood given to me and given to you and given to mankind if they will but hear the gospel message about the blood. You got to understand the Lamb and the blood are synonyms. They're synopsis one of another. It's the work of the combined Lamb and the work of the combined blood that has redeemed you. This word redemption, this word redeemed, it's number 59 in the Strong's Concordance. And it means this, to go to market. Now listen, this is good. Redeemed means this, to go to market. To go to market, that is, to purchase, specifically to redeem. It means like you are going to the Redford or Linda. I get Pruitt's in there. You're going to Pruitt's. You're going to the marketplace to buy something. Jesus went to the marketplace and bought something. He went and you go and you redeem something. How many of you ladies ever go and collect your stamps? And so you have stamps and then you go to the redemption store and you trade those stamps in. And you redeem your prize. Jesus came to earth and He redeemed His prize. We get those letters all the time, and I love to go to these places. You know, come and visit us, and we'll give you a color television. I've never got a color television. Come to these places, and we'll give you this, and we'll give you that. I always got this and that. I never got the main prize. They say, go to these places, and it's redemption. You can go, and you can redeem your prize. What is, or better, who is, the prize redeemed by the blood? You are His church, His bride, His body. You are. You're the redemption. He has redeemed you. He went to the marketplace and He redeemed you. And the cost that it cost Jesus for you was what? What was the price? His blood. His blood. And there is no soap strong enough to get it off of you. You can't sin big enough to get it off of you. You're redeemed. You're purchased by the blood. Without the work of the Lamb, redemption is impossible. The purpose of the blood is redemption. Are we getting that? That's the first thing we've got to understand. And my or your beginning with God is founded in what? The blood. Your beginning with God is always in the blood. If you don't have the blood applied to your life, then you haven't begun your walk with God. They are synonyms, the blood and the Lamb, the blood and the Lamb. They're synonyms. You must begin your walk with God through the blood. Who is this Lamb that we're talking about? Now, I know we know, but let's look. John chapter 1, St. John chapter 1. I want there to be no mistake. In the book of Genesis, 22nd chapter and the 7th verse, Abraham had taken Isaac to Mount Moriah. They had ascended up into the mount, and Isaac said, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire. Where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb? Took thousands and thousands of years to answer that question. One day, John the Baptist, baptizing people, looks on the banks of the Jordan, and look what he says. Look in verse 29. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And just to make sure we got it, he says it again. So look in verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the blood, Moses said. Behold the Lamb, the New Testament says. The Lamb and the blood, they are your door into the kingdom of God. They are your door into salvation. They are the beginning part of your walk with God. Without the blood, you have no walk. I ask you this, is there any soap more powerful than the blood? Is there any sin more powerful than the blood? Then quit trying to talk yourself into that there is. Stop it. And you might say to me, well, Velvet, when Israel left Egypt, they had put the blood on the doorpost, and we're going to get into that in just a second. But they died in the wilderness. No, they didn't just die in the wilderness. Jude writes, God destroyed them in the wilderness. Okay? Jude. Right next to Revelation. You got to see this because this is important. This will help you. God helped me with this verse. Book of Jude. I'm doing a verse-by-verse study on the book of Jude. Look at verse 5. Jude writes, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved, sozoed, soteria, saved the people, got the blood on the people, the doorpost was covered with blood of the Lamb, got the people saved out of the land of Egypt. Afterward, what did He do? Destroyed them that believed not.
Now, they come out of Egypt, didn't they? They began to walk with the Lord, didn't they? The beginning was the blood, wasn't it? All right. They come into the wilderness. They rebelled. They murmured. They complained. Disbelief took over. Did he take them back to Egypt? But did he take them to Canaan? That is as far as they wanted to go in God. So God let them die, and he raised up another generation that would go on into the land. But he didn't take them back to Egypt. He didn't take them back to Pharaoh. You see, Egypt is the world. Pharaoh is the devil. His taskmasters, all of his army, and all those magicians are his devils. He brought them out with the blood. That's as far as they wanted to go. So what happened to them? That's as far as they went. Let's bring it to today. Denominational settings. Think about this. In denominational settings, they've got a point that you can come to. Won't go any further. You stay there, what are you going to do? You're going to die right there. Non-denominational settings, same way. We can get the same way. But you got to understand, well, as far as you want to go in God, that's okay with God, just die there. You're saved. But I promise you, Joshua and Caleb, they went on in. The giants weren't too big. There weren't too many of them. Hey, Joshua and Caleb said, they're but bread to us. Let's go in and possess it. No. I've been in those settings. Hey, folks, we can go on and we can possess. No. And you'll die right there. You'll die right there. Does that help us? It helped me. Oh, my goodness. He didn't send them back. He didn't send them back to Egypt. They didn't get back under the rulership of Pharaoh. That's as far as they went, and they died there. And he raised up another generation that went on in. Right. He's going to do the same thing today. If this generation won't do it, you know what he's going to do? He'll raise up another generation, and he'll raise up another generation, and he'll raise up another generation, until finally, one day, somebody walks into the kingdom of God. Woo! Now, Exodus chapter 12. Do you realize what time it is? You need to go. You need to go. I got to go. I'm having a good time, and I feel an anointing, and I want to flow with this. The book of Exodus. When it came time for Israel to come out, God gave specific ordinances. God gave specific directions as to how that was to happen. When it come your time to come out of bondage, God has given specific ordinances. God has given specific directions as to how you'll come out. And through this 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, we can see the very beginning of their walk with God as a nation. As a holy nation, a peculiar people. A people that one time were not a people, but now are the people of God. And you got to understand that they were the house of bondage. And let me show you that. Chapter 13. Verse 3, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. How many of us, oh God, how many of us has come out of a house of bondage? Whether you were saved or whether you was lost or whether you was in a setting that you were in bondages, somehow, some way, God got his hand on you and got you out of there. You got out of the house of bondage. Again down in verse 14. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in times to come, saying, what is this? What is this that thou shalt say unto him? What shall I say unto him? By strength of the hand of the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. How many are glad you're out of a house of bondage? How many are glad that we're moving in God? Oh, how many are glad that there's been a beginning, that you've got the blood of the Lamb applied to the doorpost of your household? How many are glad that we're moving on in God? Right. Hallelujah! We're out of the house of bondage. You got to understand, if you read the book of Exodus, and you need to read the book of Exodus to get the entire scope, and of course you don't have time to bring it all. But you got to know that Egypt's the world, Pharaoh's the devils, the taskmasters, the magicians, and his army are the demons and the principalities of hell. And sometimes, now listen to me, sometimes those are vessels of God used to stir you up. used to stir you up? What caused Israel to get uncomfortable in Egypt? Pharaoh, the taskmasters. And so they begin to cry unto God, God, help us, save us, get us out of here. And a lot of times in my life and in your life, the devil becomes a vessel of God, and he stirs me up to move. I don't have to sit under that mess. I don't have to have those demons of hell, those taskmasters. I don't have to have the armies of God coming against me. I don't have to. And he stirs me up, and I go on. Now, as Moses was given this message in Exodus chapter 12, which is the message of the Passover lamb, As Moses was given the message of the Passover lamb, he literally preached the gospel to those people. He literally preached the blood to them. So how can you say that? Well, they could receive it or they could reject it. Those that received it were saved, and those that rejected it died. It's the same thing today. The gospel is preached. The blood of the lamb is preached. And it's salvation to those that receive it, but it's destruction for those that reject it. And through this gospel, this blood of the lamb, this Passover, this Pascha, through that, these people received salvation. These people received the gospel. And Moses was used. It was the message of the Passover lamb that Moses actually preached the gospel. Every individual could either accept or reject the gospel message. You know the story in short. You know how it functions, and you know how that story operates. And I don't have time to get into a great depth into it, but we're going to take a couple of weeks. We're going to take however long as it takes. I want you to understand the blood of the lamb. I want you to understand that under that blood is not only salvation, but under that blood your sins are forgiven. I didn't say will be forgiven. Your sins are forgiven you.
Hallelujah.
Also under that, there is healing.
Amen.
Not a woman come out of Egypt sick. Under that is prosperity.
Amen.
You know what happened? The people of Egypt blessed them. I mean, they come out of there. And they had, the King James Version says they borrowed. Must not have. They never took it back. So they borrowed the gold and the silver and all the clothes and stuff. They just got blessed to get out of there. Under the blood of the Lamb is so many things that we still are bickering and fighting about. Well, does it cover this or does it cover that? Well, we're going to find out because right here is where it begins. There's so many truths here. So many truths here. The thing I'm going to get on right now is the blood for the household. You see, God's interested in you and an individual, but he's more interested in your household. Let's look in chapter 12 of Exodus. First thing I want you to see is verse 2. Well, let's get verse 1 and 2. We just float on into it. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. The first thing you've got to understand is that when the Lamb's blood is applied to you, it's the beginning. Now let me show you this. This is so good. Give me 5 minutes and I'll try my best to finish it up. All right. A year. Okay? Month 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 months. This happened in April. Right in here. And what took place, as God said, this will be the beginning of the months to you. He said, I'm going to start your brand new calendar. This will be your first month. Okay? We'll go on to 7, because those are the necessary ones. He says, I'm going to start your first month. Now, what happened to the months prior to that? I've forgotten. He just threw them out the door. First months were forgotten. Everything that had happened. Or could I say forgiven? And you see, when you come to the Lord, everything prior to when the blood is applied to your door, everything prior to that is what? Forgotten and forgiven. You just start walking in a brand new way. It's a beginning. It's a new beginning unto you. Past months were forgotten. They become a new foundation beginning. Something happened to you. There was a new foundation applied in your life, and it became the foundation of the blood, the foundation of the Lamb. And he started building a house. You are the temple of God. You are the house of God. We are the household of God.
We are built upon the blood, the foundation of the Lamb. Everything prior to that ended. Everything was forgotten. Everything that happened prior to the time that you put the blood on your life was forgiven and forgotten. Now, many of us, like me, we still bring those things up, bring those things up, bring those things up. We want to go back to the old months. He's saying all the time, go on. The next thing here is it says it'll be the first month, didn't it? The first month. Well, if he said first, must there then be a second? Must there then be a third? Fourth? Fifth? Sixth? When God gets you saved, does he want you to stop right there? Now that's the first month. He's got something else planned for you the third month. He's got something else planned for you the seventh month. And all you got to do is start walking and keep on going and keep on moving in God. And you're going to experience the first month and the second month and the third month. The third month, you're going to get Pentecost. You're going to come to Sinai and you're going to get the tables of stone cast out and you're going to start getting it written on the flesh tablets of your heart. You're going to keep on walking into God. You're going to keep on moving into God. After Pentecost, you're going to go on into trumpets and tabernacles. You're going to start hearing a message. Trumpets. You're going to become a tabernacle so that God can come and dwell with his people. You're going to experience the Day of Atonement. There's more God's got.
Hallelujah.
God doesn't stop with the first month. But there is a first month. And that's what we're talking about today. Is the blood applied to your life? One more thought and I'm through. I'm not through, I just have to quit. And then it says in verse 3, let's read through verse 3 through 5. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. Here it is. Read it with me. A lamb for an house. A lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. A lamb for an house. God is interested. Hear me, he's interested in individual salvation. But do you know that salvation is appropriated for your house? And I want to show you just some quick scriptures. So let's look at them really quickly. Let's look in Genesis 7:1, and we're just going to fly through some scriptures. I want you to see them. Genesis 7, 7th chapter, first verse. Genesis 7:1 says, And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. God just doesn't want you. He wants your whole house Amen. To come on into the ark, which is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Come on in to the ark. Let's see, Genesis 18, verse 19. Talking to Abraham. Genesis 18 and 19. For I know him that he will command his children. How many want to be Abraham? Then you will command your children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Is God interested in the household? Joshua 24. Yeah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. The last chapter, or no? Joshua, yeah, I think it's the last chapter. Joshua 24, verse 15. How many of those you can serve the gods of your fathers? Or you can serve the gods of the Canaanites, or you can serve the God of Israel. Look what Joshua writes here in the 15th verse. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. As for me and my house. Fathers, you need to proclaim that. As for me and my house. We'll serve Jehovah. Well, that's the Old Testament. Well, let's get some New Testament scriptures. Let's see if it continues on. John, St. John, chapter 4.
Verse 46. The nobleman comes to Jesus. Verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. We serve the same Jesus. Will he still heal your son?
Amen.
Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word of Jesus and had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth. And himself believed, and his whole house. The next verse is kind of cute to me. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did. John starts off trying to count them. Remember, he went to the Canaan, land of Canaan, and made the water wine. And he starts, this is the first miracle. This is the second miracle. Finally, you get on over there into the end of the book. And in the 20th chapter, you know what he says in the 20th chapter, 31st verse, and 21st chapter, 25th verse? He says, there's so many I couldn't count them all. The earth itself, the world itself, couldn't contain the books of the miracles that Jesus did. Acts chapter, well, let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke first. Luke 19. We're right here in the New Testament. What are we seeing? First of all, if you want the Bible opened unto you, what do you got to have on you? Blood. Then we're seeing that if you want a new beginning in life and you want all the old things to pass away and be forgotten and forgiven, what do you need on you? Now we're seeing, if you want your household saved, what do we need on it? The blood. And in the 19th chapter of Luke, the 5th verse, and I don't... You know the story of Zacchaeus, don't you? Well, come on down from your tree and take him on in there and feed him and take care of him and eat him. Put his blood on your doorpost, on the lintels and on the side post. Make your kids eat it day and night when they rise up, when they go to bed. Talk about him, eat on him, fill up with him. Don't boil him, water him down. Take him like he is and eat him.
Hallelujah.
Take him to your house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. How many believe Zacchaeus got saved? Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Man's heart got right, buddy. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man come to seek and to save him which was lost. What did he come to seek and save? Him or that? Do you think maybe that also might incorporate the arts, dance, movies? He came to save all of it. He loved the world, people. He came to save that which was lost. Everything that the enemy has taken and everything that he's made defiled, he has come to save it. To the pure, all things are pure. Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 15, the Apostle Paul, missionary journey. Verse 15, 14, he comes to a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, where heard us, and whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, Come into my house. Is God interested in houses? I'm telling you, salvation is for your household. All right? How about verse 31, same chapter? Philippian jailer, you know the story. And he says in verse 30, And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and
thy house. Chapter 18. Is he still interested in your household?
Yeah.
But you see, you got to take that lamb and you got to slay it and take the blood and you got to apply it to your house. Don't expect your home to be passed over if you don't apply the blood to it. You see, that's the whole story. If you took the blood and applied it to your home, the death angel would pass over your house. If you don't take the blood home and apply it to your house, I'm telling you, he's not going to pass over. Acts 18, verse 3, talks about Priscilla and Aquila. They just abode in the house with Paul, but they come to a deeper understanding and revelation of Jesus. And I want to go on from that. We don't need to take time with it. Look at verse 8. 18 and 8. Verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Is he still interested in your house? Amen. You got to have the blood if you ever want to understand the Word of God. You got to have the blood if you want a new beginning in God and the old things to be passed away. Old months of your life, old years of your life to be wiped out. The brand new beginning, you need the blood. And if you want the blood applied to your life, to your house, you got to take it home and apply it. There's so many things in this chapter. I'm astounded at it, of the truths that lie in the blood. The beginning of the Passover, the Paschal week. I want to go through them. I want to bring them out. I want a great understanding of that first feast that Israel had. I want an understanding of the blood. Let's stand. Every head bowed, eye closed. This morning, you say, Delbert, I'm not sure I have the blood applied.